Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Thank you for joining us. Saturday, November 15th, 2025. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show, hosted by Mike Overson of Luminate Bank, Scott Wolmering, and myself, Ryan O'Neill, with the Minnesota Real Estate Team, RE/MAX Advantage Plus. We appreciate you joining us live every Saturday here, 612-294-6949 is how you can join us or interrupt us at any time. 612-294-6949. We're live here at WCCO. Scott and Mike, good to see you as always there, Mike.
Yeah, good to see you, Ryan. It's been a couple weeks since I've been here, but it's good to be back.
Yeah, great to have you. Scott, good morning to you, buddy.
Yep, good to be here. Appreciate everybody tuning in. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We're here live every Saturday, like Ryan says. We're going to have a fun show today. You've heard probably on social media or all over the news, the 50-year mortgage is being presented by this administration as an option. We're going to talk about the ups and downs of the 50-year mortgage. Also, keeping your rate. The way that this is being explained is if you currently have a 2.7% rate on a property that you bought maybe back in 2022, You can take this rate with you to the next mortgage. I've got a lot of skepticism around that, but Mike's the expert, so we'll find out from him. And then again, we love your comments during the show, 612-294-6949, or you can just type your questions on any of the social media. It comes right to us, and we'll cover it as it comes.
Yeah, as we kick off the show, got to give a big shout-out and a very happy birthday to my dear mother. Mom, today is Mom's birthday, a big birthday down in New Prague. Hope it is a wonderful birthday, Mom. We love you. Special day today. Scott, big day for Mom.
Every day should be your mom's birthday.
Yeah.
She's a sweetheart. Like I always say, there's a little slice of heaven for Ryan, and his mom will be there before him, but there's a little slice of heaven for Kathy as well.
Big happy birthday to you, Mom. Look forward to seeing you soon. And also, guys, my dear brother-in-law, Doug. Doug Amundson just celebrated the big 60th birthday, and just a wonderful guy. Doug's a wonderful guy. My dear sister Mary's husband, they live down in New Prague. They actually live in the house that we grew up in. So Doug and Mary bought it from Mom and Dad prior to my dad passing, and Mary and Doug have lived there for a long time, maybe 25 years, almost 30 years maybe, and Mary runs her daycare there. But yeah, Doug's a wonderful guy. He runs the gymnastics club in New Prague right there. And so happy birthday, Mom and Doug.
Very nice. Just a little outreach to the gentleman that just stole my briefcase. That just stole my briefcase out of my car that's walking down Second Avenue. Please bring it back. There's nothing in there except some marketing material and whatever else. It was funny, right before the show started, Ryan and I were watching this guy open my car, grab my briefcase, and walk down the street. That's my fault for not locking it.
The world, Scott. The world. Yeah, literally, I was just looking out the window here. We're on the second floor of the CCO studios on the second floor. So just kind of looking out, you know, onto the street. It's a nice sunny day here. I look, and I see Scott's car directly across the way, and all of a sudden I see the door opening and some things happening, and I see somebody come out with a briefcase. I don't know, Scott, what do you do?
It's other people's children, but yeah, bring it back. There's you won't like anything in there, unless you like the marketing presentation I'm going to do at noon, which now I don't have.
You don't have. You're calling your seller. Yes. Saying, look, we've got an issue, Mike. What do you do, Mike?
I would have liked to see Scott run down the street, chase after him, you know.
Well, I thought that was going to happen, actually.
I started, and then I took four big steps, and I was so tired. I was like, it's not worth it. He can just have it.
Ryan, what did you think was going to happen, bud?
I don't know. My heart was racing. That's about as much excitement as I want to see at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. So let's just get back to business here and try to forget about it.
That's right.
That's not what you expect on a Saturday morning. Mike, hey, interest rate update. What's cooking? Thoughts, low sixes still, or where are rates at?
Low sixes still. You know, and the interest rate talk has been pretty boring on our side, to be honest with you, which I appreciate, right? So we go back a year ago, we were just wanting rates to just, like, have some consistency, right? Let's not do the up and down thing. Let's just get them to somewhere and just kind of be consistent so people can plan and budget. And that's what we've had basically all year. We're down in the low sixes. We've been in the low sixes for a few months now, and I think it's going to stay there. Now, a lot of people are talking about, well, the feds are lowering rates, and they're going to plan on lowering them again. Yeah, but the feds don't control mortgage rates. Mortgage rates have their own market. The feds don't control that. And to be honest with you, this last time that the feds, quote unquote, lowered their rate, mortgage rates went up an eighth to a quarter since then. So, but we have that consistency where rates are going to be hanging in the low sixes. I think we're going to stay there for a while. I don't think that we're even going to hit 5.5 anytime soon. But I think we can enjoy some consistency, and I don't think they're going to go up.
Well, and this has been a frustration I've had over the last 9 months since this administration came in. It doesn't matter what side of the coin you're on. But we meaning the government, does not control housing prices, and it does not control housing interest rates. Free markets do that.
Right.
So it was a very big mistake from President Trump to get in and say, I'm going to lower interest rates and I'm going to lower housing prices. He should not have said that because you can't do it. It's a free market thing. If you've got 9,000 homes on the market, nothing is bringing those prices down. That's a supply and demand issue. It's not going to happen. Nor do you have a magic wand to go ahead and say, trinkle, trinkle, here we go. Now rates are at 4%. Rates dropped to 2.7% because we were invaded by COVID and the market crashed. And that's good, excuse me, for home interest rates. But it has nothing to do with the government control around, hey, we're going to drop housing prices. What? You can't do that.
Yeah, 612-294-6949. I had a, actually, I got a text, and I thought it was interesting talking to my brother Tim a little bit. He saw on TV recently the National Association of Realtors said the U.S. home buyers by age, okay, so by age, people buying homes, July of 2024 to July of 2025, 56% of the buyers were 55 and older. So 56 are 55 and older. 12% are 35 and younger. So almost 1 in 10 are of 34 and under, guys. That's a problem.
It's a huge problem.
Well, guess what? So in 2025, guess what the average age is of the first-time home buyer?
40.
40?
Yep.
40. That's
it
correct.
It used to be 24 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That's 16 years of buying people gone. If we don't do something, and that's why we're going to talk about the 50-year mortgages and keeping your mortgages. I know we're at a break, but make sure you tune in because we're going to have at least, I'm not sure it's great insight, but we're going to have some insight.
Yeah. Again, 612-294-6949 is how you can reach us here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. It's a big day today, November 15th. It is Kathy O'Neill's birthday. Mom, happy birthday from all of us here at WCCO. We are sending out lots of love and well wishes. It's going to be a big day. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Hey, welcome back to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us. Hope your weekend's going well, everybody. 612-294-6949. Wanted to give a little market update. A little market update here. New listings in the Twin Cities went up almost a little over 14%. 1,197 new properties came onto the market. Pending sales were down 5.5%. There were 819 pending sales year over year. Again, down 5.5%. And then the overall inventory, pretty much the same, guys. We're at 10,524. It's down 1% year over year. So pretty similar, guys. Pretty similar numbers.
Yeah, I remember last year, Mike and I, in November, we were like, do you think we're going to hit 10,000 homes by the end of December? And that was the deal, and we did. We basically hit about, obviously, 1%. We hit 10,500 homes that came on. And so... You know, going into what these numbers basically mean is we're going to be having a duplication of the last 3 years. We run up to 10,500. It's going to drop off through December. We're going to hit the spring market probably around 75 to 8,000 homes again. And that is that is the third best seller's market we've ever had, which we're still in.
Hey, just a quick note, Scott. We were talking a little bit about you getting your briefcase stolen here, and you gave a nice comment yesterday for our Minute of Hope, for the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. We did a food drive. And actually, this is, I think, pretty timely for real estate as well. So thanks to the generosity of so many donors We went out and went to Costco and Walmart, bought $7,500 worth of groceries, and we did a pop-up food shelf yesterday and at the Bloomington office, and probably had 50 to 60 different individuals who came out. And it was a wonderful event.
It was
a great day. And in talking with so many of the families, I talked to a mother of five who's battling cancer right now. A lot of the folks, again, I think the common misconception, Scott, is that, hey, get a job. In fact, we did a little paid post, and I got a lot of comments that just said, hey, go get a job. You need to get a job. And I think what we've learned with the foundation is it's not that simple.
No, it's
always
not.
And again, it was a collective effort by so many agents on the Minnesota real estate team, people in the public, donors, just a wonderful event. We're going to put up a little social media post. But food, one gal said to me, she said, you know, until you know what it's like to go to bed and feeling hungry, you don't really have appreciation for this type of thing. So again, it's a small thing. We're trying our part, like everybody is, but a big thanks to the public, the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. Wonderful event, 50 to 60 people. Literally, it was a pop-up food shelf. We had a lot of volunteers, guys.
Yeah, and you know, what's really struck me as I've followed Ryan's, you know, excitement around the foundation is, you know, the foster care system, I think it's 65 or 75%. It's a big number of people that come out of the foster care system end up homeless. And that's why, you know, I've said, not jokingly, but it's true, I get really irritated when I hear younger people saying, oh, it's disgusting, they need to get a job. And I'm like, look, if you're 26 years old and you're living in your folks' basement, the only difference between you being homeless is your folks. That's it. You have a family that you move into. So if you take away that support system, I mean, how many people out there right now could lose their job for 5 months and be fine? I would say it's very, very few. And so if you're in a situation where you're like, man, if I lost my job, I don't have people supporting me, I would be in bad shape. Then don't look down on somebody that's in that situation. Try to get a job without an address. You can't. So the whole thing snowballs and it gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, our goal is just to let people know they're seen. A lot of people just wanted a conversation yesterday. That's it. You know, they just wanted somebody to talk with. So we really appreciate your support, the O'Neill Brothers. We're doing our little Christmas concert to raise money for the foundation, pianobrothers.com. You can go there. We got two concerts in Saturday, December 20th. It's going to be a lot of fun.
They're very good.
Singing and playing on the two pianos. We're going to even bring Mike Overson up there. And, Mike, a big thanks, by the way, to Luminate Bank, who is one of our largest sponsors for the concerts. You are good people there, Mr. Eric Lovins. You guys every year, you support the cause, Mike. A big thanks to you guys.
Well, you know, it's pretty easy with the type of job you guys put together in that. I mean, the concert, everyone loves the concert.
Concert's
right?
Great.
You can watch it online. You can go there live. I definitely recommend going there live if you can. But if you can't, you can also watch it online. But don't miss it. It's something you're going to want to see.
Yeah, we did have a question in the break, guys, talking about selling. And again, you can text us or call us at any time, 612-294-6949. This one said, Scott, the top three things to update if selling, is a finished basement important? Thanks for the question.
Yeah, a finished basement's important, and it's probably the last thing you're going to want to do if you're selling. And here's the problem, and I'll say that with some caveats. If you have a bunch of brothers and sisters that are all in the trades and you can knock out a $50,000 basement for 15 grand, absolutely finish your basement. But that's typically not the case. So when you finish a basement to sell your house, if you do everything perfectly, you don't miss a trick. Everything you put in there is exactly what that next buyer is going to want. You're going to get about 65% of your investment out of it. So you spend 50 grand, you're going to get about 35 out, maybe 30 to 35 grand out of your basement. So it's not something you want to do to sell the house. It would have been something you would have wanted to do maybe 10 years ago so you could have enjoyment out of it. Selling your house is very, very easy. It is clean it, carpet it, paint it, redo some light fixtures, basically give it as best a once-over as you can. But doing major remodels to sell your house, you will not get the money out of it.
Hey, we've got a caller here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We're going to go to Herb. Herb, thanks so much for calling the Minnesota Real Estate Show, and how can we best help?
Good morning. I'd like to know what approximate difference is between appraised value and market value.
Difference between appraised value and market value. Scott?
I'll give you the straight answer that you're not going to like. Typically, it's about $500 more than what the purchase agreement says. I mean, in very, very rare cases, you'll buy a house for $400 and the appraisal will come in at $415 or $420. But, Mike, what would you say? It's very small percentage.
It's a small percentage, but I guess where my mind went to it is like, okay, I'm looking at refinancing.
Oh, yes.
Or selling. So if I get an appraisal on a refinance versus what the market value would be on a sale, how does that differ?
Yeah, they're going to be tighter if you're looking to refinance your property than they are going to be on a new purchase, depending on what the terms of the new purchase is. So you have a 50% down buyer buying your house conventional, that appraisal is going to come in, probably.
Well, and just so everyone knows, the process a little bit, and Mike, you can speak as the lender, is the appraiser has no contact now with the lender, right?
Correct. Yeah, the loan officer. No, they, all they see is an order show up on their end, and that, and if it's for a purchase, then they see a copy of the purchase agreement. That's all they get. The reason why is because they don't want someone calling the appraiser to say, "Hey, this thing's really nice. It better come in at this number," yeah. Or "Hey, if it doesn't come in at this number, we're never going to send you an order again." Right? And that's the type of stuff that happened back in the day. So now they've completely separated appraisers. Hey, here's the order information. Here's the purchase agreement. Go do your job.
See, I'll take the devil's advocate side. If I was a consumer out there, I would say, well, the appraiser should never see the purchase agreement. What difference does it make? The appraisal number is the appraisal number. So why would they get a purchase agreement so they can see that it sold for $500? Because that should have no determination on anything. The number is just what the number is.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it works. They have a number basically they're trying to hit, and as long as it's reasonable, that's why I say most appraisals, house sells for $500, the appraisal comes in at $500,500.
Yeah, we do on the Minnesota real estate team, we've got some great agents who actually are appraisers as well. I can think of John Love, for example. John has done a class for us on how to do a market analysis like an appraiser, so that our agent can be presenting that information to the seller so that the seller can understand. And sometimes that, it is an important skill to really learn, but it's a really good question too, Mike.
Well, one thing to know is an appraisal is an opinion of value, right? An opinion. Is there some science and some hard math involved? Yes. But you go into a house, this basement is now finished. One appraiser might give $30,000 for that basement as a value. The next one might give it $15,000.
That's right.
Right? Because that's their opinion of what the market would pay for that type of basement. So just know it's not going to be an exact science. You could get three appraisers out at the same house, and you'll probably get three different numbers.
That's right.
Yeah, we've got some callers coming in, some texts. Again, 612-294-6949 is how you can reach us at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Sorry for a little bit of microphone issues. We're not sure what the buzzing was on my mic, but apologize for that a little bit earlier, everybody. Hey, I did want to hit on a listing, guys, before the break. David Meyer has one in Afton, 13379 50th Street, Scott in Afton, for $950. Three bed, three bath, two plus car garage. He's doing an open house tomorrow, Sunday, 12 to 2, almost 3,000 square feet. David describes it as a nature lover's paradise. 15 plus acres, peaceful, secluded. He said it's a showcase of craftsmanship and energy efficiency. It's got sunlight pouring through the spacious main level sunroom, bright lower level bonus room. You got kitchen, newer kitchen appliances, windows, water softener. Again, 13379 50th Street South in Afton for $950,000. Be sure to check that open house tomorrow. Mike, you're looking at the photos too. A nice looking home, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very nice. I like it.
Scott, again, it's already the halfway point. I know Rye's taking a few calls here as well. I want to hit maybe after the break pros and cons of that 30-year and 50-year mortgage. Mike, just a quick blip for folks. What payment-wise, what is the difference between the two?
So I ran these numbers. So we ran it on a $400,000 loan amount. Okay. So a $400,000 loan amount on a 30-year loan at 6% versus a $400,000 loan amount on a 50-year mortgage, at 6.5%. I figure the longer term, it's probably going to be a little bump in interest rates.
Just like a 15-30.
Yeah. Right, just like a 15 versus a 30, right? The difference in payment between the two was only about $170 a month. So it wasn't that big of a difference, to be honest with you. The amount of interest you pay through the life of the loan was ridiculous, and we're going to cover that when we come back from the break.
Yeah, again, 612-294-6949. We appreciate you joining us here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Hey, welcome back to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We got a lot of phone lines ringing here and some patient folks. We're going to go first to Justin, who called the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Justin, thanks so much for calling, and how can we best help? Hello, Justin, are you there? Oh, maybe we lost Justin. We're going to go next to Wendy. Wendy, thanks for calling the Minnesota Real Estate Show. How can we help?
Hi, guys. My name's Wendy Heasley. You may have heard of me, but I work with short sale negotiations with Mark Wife Law Firm, and our short sales are up exponentially. The increase started about a year and a half ago, the result of the COVID recession and that kind of thing. And we're seeing a lot of people needing a lot of help. And I just wanted to make a point to you guys that if people are underwater or if they're having mortgage difficulties, it's extremely important for them to reach out to a qualified real estate professional that understands selling homes in foreclosure or selling homes in a short sale situation. There's a lot of licensees out there now that, you know, were kind of in high school in the last recession and maybe don't have a lot of knowledge about these complex transactions. And I just want to impress the homeowners, if you're in trouble with your mortgage, reach out to a real estate agent early and make sure that they are very experienced, as your team is, in these complex transactions, short sales, and so on. And I'd also like to mention to homeowners that abandoning the property is not a good idea. A lot of people in foreclosure have equity, but even if you're underwater, you may get a check at closing if you do a short sale. So there's all kinds of reasons to reach out to real estate agents, experienced real estate agents, early.
Great. I'm glad you called in, Mary. That's so cool. And for all of us that are a little longer in the tooth that lived through that time period where 50% of all sales for about 5 years were bank mediated or short sales, I'll tell you what, that short sale market, and there's obviously you do it incredibly well. We've had a few agents on the team that focused on that. It is a whole different ball of wax. And so, and I think you're exactly right. Reach out immediately if you're getting in trouble, because in this market, different than that one, I would say that a lot of people are still going to have equity in their place, unless you bought in a 4-year gap of 2022 when you bought the rate. Other than that, I mean, we've been going up pretty consistently.
Yeah, Wendy, just want to say thanks for calling in. We've worked with you and your team a number of times on so many files. You've done a wonderful job, Wendy Heasley. Super knowledgeable. Very important, again, the short sale business, it's not your typical transaction at all. You need a pro like a Wendy who is going to step in to help and assist. It's just a totally different deal, Mike.
It is, and the thing is that the average consumer, it's going to freak them out, yeah, right? And they have no idea what their options are. And so I encourage you, if you're in that position, don't stick your head in the sand.
I was going to say,
don't stick your head in the sand, right? Reach out to someone, let people know there are people that can help you and explain what your options are. And trust me, you do have options on your end, and they're probably better options than what you think.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting ahead of it in everything in life, I believe, is an advantage. When you just it'll go away, put your head in the sand thing, it doesn't go away, it gets worse. And normally it's something you'd be taking care of right up front.
Yeah, again, a text that just says, guys, please explain if the administration's proposed 50-year mortgage is good or bad for consumers. Mike, your thoughts?
All right, let's cover some numbers, right? Let's do some math here together. So $400,000 loan amount at 6% on a 30-year fixed, okay? The amount of interest you're going to pay in that loan is $467,000 back. So you're borrowing $400,000. You're going to pay $467 back in interest back to the bank if you stick with that loan over 30 years. Okay. Now, if we look at a 50-year mortgage, typically the longer the term, the higher the interest rate, just like a 15-year versus a 30-year. The 15-year has a lower rate than the 30-year. So now a 50-year, I'm guessing, is going to be 0.5% higher. So let's take a $400,000 loan on a 50-year mortgage, and that interest rate would be 6.5%. Okay. The monthly savings is about $170. So it's
Does it move the needle that much to go to 50? I don't know, $170 a month. Maybe that would make a difference in some cases, but I mean, to me, that's not a big enough difference to make an impact. But the amount of interest you pay over that 50-year mortgage is $980,000, right? You're paying more than double the interest back to the bank on that scenario. So, you know, is it one of those things that could it help more people get into homes and afford them? Yes. Is $170 a month on a $400,000 loan, is that really going to move the needle enough? I personally don't think so. Options that you might go with if you did just interest-only loans, right? So do a 30-year fix, but make it interest-only for the first 10 years. Now you're saving closer to $300 a month. That probably moves the dial a little bit more, maybe makes a better impact.
Yeah, that's my immediate thought. Is it's nothing more than bringing back a pseudo interest-only program. That's what it is. Now I take a little bit of a different side because I don't really care about the 50-year interest because nobody stays in their house for 30 years. Nobody stays in their house for 50 years. Majority of people stay in about 8 years. So if you're a first-time home buyer, and I do think they're going to have to make it more desirable, that 6 to 6.5 isn't going to be enough of a swing for people to be able to do it. I think they're going to have to make the rates more competitive around. I don't know how they would do that if it's a government-insured loan or something. But anyway, you look at 8 years. So if it saves you a couple $100 a month and it helps you get into a home, I wouldn't look at the 50 years because you're not going to be there for 50 years anyway. So you look at the difference in interest and people say, well, you want to build equity. Well, equity is built, the majority of equity is built on your appreciation, not your pay down in the first 10 years of your mortgage. And so from that standpoint, I look at it as what difference does it make? It saves you a couple $100. You're going to be out of it or refinance it within that 8 year period anyway. And so I guess I'm a little bit more of a favor of it. Just because if it helps us bridge that gap of, you know, 10 years ago, the average first time home buyer was 25 and now they're 40, whatever makes that stop, we need to make that stop, or we're going to have some problems in the next 10 years.
Yeah. So the question I would have is, and this is for you two guys, how much of a difference does that 50 year mortgage have to make before it makes an impact on this? So if you're looking in the $400,000 price point, is $170 a month enough?
I would say like 300.
Yeah.
I would say like 300 would tip people where they were like, yeah, that would make sense. I would do it. I mean, you know, we've known this because I did a show years ago on San Francisco proper. These are going to be brutal numbers because I don't remember them exactly, but you'll get the gist. So the average sale price in San Francisco proper was $2 million. Let's just say that was the number. The average income was like 176. So I'm like, how in the world are people buying $2 million properties making $176,000 a year? Well, a guy called in, a loan officer from San Francisco, that they had gone to 50-year mortgages. The banks internally are like, look, everything's going up 15, 20% a year. We don't feel the risk, so we'll go to a 50-year mortgage and make it more affordable. And that worked, you know, it worked there. And it always works until that 15% isn't going up anymore. We found that out in 2008. Everybody's loving, everything's going up 15%. Then it goes backwards. Well, then all hell breaks loose.
Scott, any update on your bag?
No, he hasn't brought it back. I keep looking at my car. And the police have called, so hopefully he just dropped it off somewhere and somebody saw my name inside.
We are actually live here every Saturday, live here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Before the break, guys, I did want to feature, we've got a couple other listings. Kieran Houlihan has got a wonderful listing in Minnetonka, 9816 Cove Drive for $425,000. Three bed, three bathrooms. There's two laundries. It's fully updated, designer decorated. Kieran said it feels like a builder's model home. It has serene ponds, walking trails close by. It's minutes from downtown. Gourmet kitchen, quartz countertops, huge island, move-in ready, new furnace, AC, water heater. He's doing an open house tomorrow, Sunday, from 12:30 to 2. Be sure to check that out, 9816 Cove Drive in Minnetonka. And then Mike Katterlick has one, Scott, in your neck of the woods in Lakeville, 16421 Gunflint Trail for $574,900. It is a four-bed, three-bath Rambler, 3,350 finished square feet, three-car garage, hot and cold water, lots of hardwood, built-ins throughout, backed to an area of mature trees, very private, finished top to bottom, 16421 Gunflint Trail. Do you know that area pretty good, Scott, the Gunflint Trail?
I have actually sold multiple on Gunflint. It's a great, great area.
The Gunflint Trail. Just real quick, guys, about the 50-year mortgage. Affordability. I just think affordability is the issue. I mean, again, just in a very small way, what happened this week, and granted, I know we bought at Costco and Walmart, but that purchase of $7,500 did not go very far.
Oh my gosh. When you said $7,500, I was like, I mean, it was a lot of food.
I mean, it was
But it wasn't $7,500 worth of food. It did not look like that.
And we're not talking about like high end stuff. I mean, we did buy nice stuff. We got eggs, we got meats,
turkeys.
But it was from Costco and Walmart. Okay. Yeah. And so I just think the issue with the average home buyer, I mean, it's about the dollar and affordability. We can feel it as agents in our market. Loan officers, we can feel it. That's what's going on, guys.
Well, you could look at it in the midterm elections, you know, where it was across the board. It was the number one thing in all of voting was affordability. And that's why I get a little bit frustrated, where we need to identify what can be driven by the government and handled, and what other things are just free market things that you're just going to have to float with. You know, it's like, How do you get grocery prices down? Except by telling a grocery store or a company you can't make more than a 20% profit. Well, of course you can't do that. And so it's like, you know, what decisions do you make to be able to drive independent companies to pricing things lower?
Guys, it's already the 3/4 point here. Big day today, November 15th, Mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom, and happy birthday to my brother-in-law, Doug, yesterday, the big 60th for Doug. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the final segment of the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We've got a final listing. We've got one, 14960 Dodd Boulevard for $240,000, 3-bed, 3-bath, 2-car garage. David Myers got this one listed. It's a little over 1,500 square feet. David said new flooring, new windows, furnace, water heater, updated flooring throughout. You've got a spacious primary bathroom, large walk-in closet, lower levels, got a third bedroom, private guest suite with a full bath, doing an open house Sunday, 2 to 4. That's 14960 Dodd Boulevard for $240. That's 3-bed, 2-bath. Again, listed with the Minnesota Real Estate Team and RE/MAX Advantage Plus. That is in Rosemont. Guys, I got a comment. Brian, a listener, longtime listener, sent us that the whole thing that happened with the new pro remodeling that happened with customers just a couple weeks ago, the parent company ended up filing Chapter 7 bankruptcy. So basically no money, no recourse for all of the good folks here that had ordered a windows.
From Rusco, right?
Yeah, yeah. Everything through it. There was an article he shared from NBC. Just crazy.
That is. And we know people personally that worked for the company. And it was a long time, very reputable company. And yeah, very, very, very sad for all the employees, and obviously sad for anybody that had money on the table that now is gone with no recourse. That's just, that sucks.
Yeah, Mike, we're at the home stretch, bud. Kind of last thoughts for people heading into the end of 2015, into 2016?
Sure. You're looking for a deal in the house?
Right now.
These next 2.5 months is your window to get a, you know, offer maybe underneath the list price and be able to get it. Maybe get the seller to pitch in on your closing costs. If you're an FHA buyer or down payment assistance buyer and it's been tough to get your offer accepted because you're competing against other buyers out there too, now's go time. Next 2 months is going to be your best window to get that deal in the house.
Yeah, it is. And before we end up wrapping the show up, we did say we would also get to the other part of this, which is we've talked about the 50-year mortgage and the benefits and our opinions, at least on benefits and non-benefits. What about the keep your current rate? What mechanism could be used where I'm lost at how that could even work?
I mean, if the government's going to do that, the only way that works is that if you have like a loan that is currently owned by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, right? Then they could say, okay, you got a current loan with us. They'd have to have some sort of internal thing where lenders would have to issue the new loan, but they get some sort of like written approval from Fannie Mae to say, okay, on the new loan, you know, the rate is X, right? So charge them this rate and stuff, and then we basically sell that loan and ship it right back to Fannie or Freddie.
So you got a 2.5% rate right now. Rates are at 6.5%, and so you sell your house, and what they're talking about is you're able to then take that rate to your next purchase, and so your next purchase would be 2.5%, and I don't understand. I mean, it would be almost like an assumable that but lenders wouldn't get paid again. I mean,
I think how they would do it is basically a lender would have to go in there and say, you got a current mortgage? Okay, great. Send me your most recent mortgage statement, right? Then with that information, we can look up to see who actually owns the loan. Is it Fannie and Freddie that owns the loan on the back end? Yes, it is. Okay. We reach out to Fannie and Freddie and say, okay, here we got someone who owns a loan. They're at 2875. They send us some sort of like coupon or something like that, some sort of authorization to say, okay, fund their next loan at the same rate of 2875. You can charge them one discount point or whatever the deal is, right, for fees. And then we do a new loan amount, whatever that loan amount is for them on the next house. And then we have to ship that loan. That loan has to go directly back to Fannie or Freddie, wherever it came from. So it would be a little goofy. There'd be extra steps involved and stuff like that. So, but if the government wants to do it, they could do it because they're holding those loans. So they're like, hey.
Well, and there's going to be the fair police out there. People are like, well, wait a minute. I have a 5% rate. Why can't I lock in at 2.875%? I mean, that's what's going to come out of it. It just seems like a mess.
Hey, guys, yeah. It is this time of year. You're getting your property tax statements. Just I had a question about what are we seeing for history. And, again, looking back in Minnesota history, have property tax increases been worse? What's your prediction for the next few years, Mike?
They ain't going to go down. I can say that. They're not going to go down. You know, you're probably going to have a steady increase like before. If you have some sort of school referendum or something that kicks in like Lakeville did this last year, I mean, our taxes went up pretty substantially from that. And those are outside factors that you can't control.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot. There was Minneapolis. I forgot all the areas where they went up, 17 to 25% in some cases. Huge increases. And again, remember, folks, that your property tax, your current property tax, is not necessarily your current value. People always think that. Well, my house is only worth $500. I'm getting taxed at $650. It's a fluctuating scale. There's a time where your house was worth a lot more than you were being taxed, and now it's where your house is worth a little bit less than you're being taxed.
Yeah, there is a method to the madness. Having a really good real estate agent who can help you analyze the market value is important. It's something we obviously do for really any listeners. You don't even have to be considering selling at all. You just want to know what your home is worth. You can go to mnrealestateshow.com, fill out the free market analysis. It's a kind of a courtesy service we provide to folks. You, again, don't even have to talk to an agent, meet with an agent. But Scott and Mike, that is hard sometimes for people to understand that market value versus appraised value. And again, going back to costs of ownership, taxes, insurance. We've talked on a lot of shows about insurance, increased insurance costs for our condo owners, for our townhome owners, and the state of the market here. Again, I don't see any big crash coming. There have been some employment shifts, but we're still a pretty solid market compared to a lot of parts of the country where labor is not as strong here. Again, it's supply and demand.
Yeah, we're going to be in a very, very consistent, we can't track anything out over, 12, 18 months. For the next year, 2 years, we're going to be in that same 3 to 6% appreciation, depending on your price point, probably a little bit flatter on the upper bracket stuff, probably a little bit stronger than that on things in the 300-400 range. It's kind of been what we've been. So, and that's good. That's what we want. We don't want to see 15, 20% appreciation. We want to see a nice little 3 to 4 to 5% gradual increase. We want to see a little gradual drop in rates. We were at 7.25. Now we're around that 6.25, 6.5. Maybe we float into the high fives. That would be a glory day. But we don't want to see rates at 3% again. Housing prices would go through the roof. It would become more unaffordable. And that's what we can't have.
Hey, just one other quick shout out again. The O'Neill Brothers, we're getting the band together December 20th. So about a month away. We got two concerts in Edina Performing Arts Center. All the ticket sales monies raised go to benefit the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. Again, a local, we're a local organization helping people who are struggling with hardships. You can go to pianobrothers.com. Fun show. We're bringing in the Marilyns.
Nice.
You got the postcards there, Scott. Two sisters. They were on The Voice. Kind of cool.
Yeah, very. I'll tell you what. If you are a family type of a unit and you want to bring your kids to something extremely cool, they will love this concert. It is so fun.
Yeah, Mike. Again, last thoughts, bud. Appreciate you, bud. Luminate, your sponsorship of the show, and again, encourage people to reach out to Luminate Bank.
Yep, we're a local bank here. We'd love to build a banking relationship with you. We're paying 3.5% APY in our savings and 2% in our checking. Plus, we're good on the mortgage side too. So, if you're looking for a little bit of change, more of a hometown bank type of feel, we're the bank for you. So, reach out to us.
Yeah, Scott. Last thoughts.
Yeah, nothing, but I'm just going to piggyback on what Mike said. People are like, you know, how's the real estate market? Well, depending on whether you're a buyer or a seller, every real estate market is great. The best time to buy a house was in 2008, you know, when the market was crashed. You should have bought everything you could possibly put your hands on. And so right now, these next 2.5 months, like Mike said, if there is a deal available in this market and you are a buyer with nothing to sell, these next 2 months are your time to purchase. We'd love to help you if you have that need, mnrealestateshow.com. If not, contact your buyer or your agent and have that conversation, because it's the time you want to zone in.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends at all the different companies, friends like Wendy, who called in, does a great job with short sales. Yep. It is important. Work with an agent in this market. Very critical to have somebody help you through the process, Scott, so you're not alone going through the transaction.
Yep, trust your agent. And if you are a person that does not switch agents, because you need to be able to believe the person that is giving you the advice and not think that there's some alter reason why they're doing it.
Hey, after the show, Scott, maybe we'll go look for your bag.
I'm going to go hunt him down. He has no idea. He made a mistake messing with me, Ryan.
Hey, and happy birthday, Mom. A big happy birthday to dear Kathy O'Neill. We're going to have a lot of fun. Celebrate this weekend. We love you. Sending lots of love from everybody at CCO here today. Have a great day, everybody. Take care.